Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets Live here on Game Plus Network, powered by FCN. Chris Meany here with you. Lots to get to on the program today. Always appreciate you guys hanging out, whether it's on Game Plus or live on our FTN YouTube page. Always a great lineup on Game Plus Network. I was sitting back this morning, actually, and watching some of the shows over at Game Plus, taking some notes, some great insight there as well. And a little bit later on today, All in Football over at Game Plus Network, I believe at 8 Eastern with Jake Seeley and Jeff Ratcliffe, as we're just a little under 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. It's exciting times. There's still a couple big name, not huge name players out there, but where's Honey Badger going? Where's this guy going? He's a top safety in the NFL. I'd like to see him signed here, maybe with the Birds. I don't know. Can we will that in? Let's have it. But those guys are going to break down a lot of just the NFL prospects, and then we're going to have a lot of NFL draft coverage over at our FTN YouTube page. Jake's going to cover it. Jake and I will be together on Friday after the first day of the draft, Friday morning, where the draft kicks off on Thursday. And here on our FTN Network YouTube page, we're going to really cover the draft 3 days. Jeff Ratcliffe, myself, and a few others will be with you. Jake Seeley is going to hop in there, and we will cover the NFL draft throughout. Of course, Jeff has his rookie scouting kit, which is live over at FTNFantasy.com, and he'll update that, of course, as we have a feel of where these players are going to go if they land in great fantasy environments and whatnot. But that's it for the NFL talk. We are going to talk some NBA, NHL, and MLB here today. Three games on the hard court. The Raptors return home. It's a must-win situation for them, down 2-0 against the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't keep up with who's feeling 100% on the Raptors, but definitely need a 100% effort from Toronto tonight to get back into that series. Chicago, Milwaukee also playing, and then Brooklyn and Boston. That's going to be, the game one was phenomenal between those two teams. And hopefully, just as a basketball fan, hopefully we can get a 7-game series between those two, because it would be absolutely awesome. Four games on the ice, Vegas and Washington tonight. Vegas needs a win. They're 4 back of Dallas. Dallas also in action against the Edmonton Oilers, who've been red hot at home. I believe they've won 8 of their last 10 overall. Back-to-back shutouts from Mike Smith. It's a must-win situation for Vegas tonight at home against the Washington Capitals. They got to win. As I said, they're 4 back of Dallas. They're 5 back of LA. They only have 5 games left. The Stars have a game in hand on Vegas. They got to win out, and they need some help. They do have a game remaining against Dallas, so if they can get a W tonight, and maybe the Stars lose, then they're kind of right back in it. They'd be 2 back. But again, the Stars do have that game in hand. And a ton of action around the diamond today. It is Shohei Day, the Angels taking on the Astros. And we got our guy, Frank Brank, who's going to join us. Real Frank Brank on the Twitter machine. He's absolutely been crushing it to start. You remember Frank jumped on this show after the NBA trade deadline, and he gave us the Celtics as a long shot at 50-1 to win the NBA championship, and also talked about them winning the East at 40-1 or 35-1. I got in on the championship bet. We'll see. I'd like to get his thoughts on the Brooklyn and Boston series, but he's going to come in here with some MLB picks. He's been red hot to start the season. I believe he's up to 12 units over at FTNbets.com in our bet tracker, and he's been crushing the picks. So he's got some props and some picks. We'll just dive into the MLB slate. And speaking of FTN bets, our betting package, the Diamond Package, is live over at FTN. If you want to be part of the FTN family, I always say this, all the picks across all the sports, you see it there, $49.99 per month. You can use the promo code Meany. You can use the promo code, I just roll with Meany. Why not? Let's just roll with Meany. You could roll NHL if you want to. I always like when the bosses see, an NHL sub comes in, promo code NHL. Just because I always try to push hockey, right? Everything is baseball, it's basketball, it's football. I totally get it, but you guys know I'm a big puck fan. So, nonetheless, you see what it has to offer there too, and even more included. FTNbets.com/checkout, and you can see the Diamond Club all inclusive, everything that's laid out. Like, you're throughout the season, because you have the betting package, you have all the picks across all the sports from everybody, plus all the tools. When NFL happens, you're going to have the projections from Jeff Ratcliffe. You got NBA player projections from Frank, from Kyle. You got the odds calculator, prop shop, parlay calculator. That is actually free to check out over at FTN, so you don't have to surf around for the best possible odds. But you got all the picks from everybody, Discord channel from everybody. You know, you got all the live shows, betting shows that we'll have throughout the NFL season. And we're going to have some MLB stuff coming soon, too, in the works. I'm hoping that we can have an MLB betting show very, very soon with Frank and potentially myself, an MLB dream. Game-by-game breakdowns, articles, same-game parlay stuff, sides, totals, PGA betting model, MLB strikeout tool, a lot of good stuff over at ftnbets.com. And things were okay yesterday. I was pretty happy. You know, it was the first solo show in a while, just myself rambling, and I didn't really know how it would go. And I was just hoping that the picks would be okay. And we were pretty much perfect in the NBA. We had the CJ McCollum 3-point prop. We had the Booker 3-point prop. Chris Paul for his point prop was on the Suns, didn't get that right, but we did have Miami and we did have the Grizzlies, and the NHL picks were just okay. Had Florida on the puck line, didn't work out. Had the Flames, they lost in overtime, but we did go 2-for-4, I believe, on the shot props. Got that plus money play, which is something that I really like with Anthony Duclair. Talked a lot about him and his involvement on the power play with the Panthers. I believe he had 4 shots yesterday. Adrian Kempe as well. Did get the Wild on the puck line, and we did talk about a couple MLB plays that worked out for us too. But we can't get too crazy here, right? We got to back it up. Frank's in here in a couple segments. He's going to have some MLB picks for us. And in the next segment, I'm going to remain solo. Just going to go over a couple of the big-time fantasy performances from yesterday and kind of hit the waiver wire before we bring in Frank. And he is hanging by. So keep her locked. Lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back here, Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. I see my guy, Am the Artist, hanging out live here with us today. And he, you know, you got a large hit parlay for Frank, so I love that. He would like some insight, so hang on, Am the Artist. Frank is in here next, and we'll dive into that. But if you want to type that out, we can get that to Frank and get his thoughts on that. And DeBrincat for an assist, I do like it. Plus money against Arizona, absolutely, for sure. More hockey stuff a little bit later on. These are the 3 stars from last night around the diamond. These guys really won't help you. Well, I mean, they will help you out in fantasy land, but they won't be available, of course, on the waiver wire. I got a couple guys towards the end of this segment that I can throw at you guys, and if you're looking for some help on the waiver wire. But Max Scherzer, big day from him yesterday. Man, I really wanted to give the under 6.5 between the Mets and the Giants with Webb on the hill too. And it's just like 6.5. It's such a low number, and we would have gotten it right. But Scherzer was fantastic last night. 10K, 7 innings, 1 hit, 1 earned run, as you see there. Max Fried, also fantastic. A matchup in LA against the Dodgers. And anytime you can get 8 strikeouts, give up 0 runs on 2 hits against the LA Dodgers, that's certainly worthy of some love. So let's give a little bit to Max Fried there, who I do believe is going to be in the running this season for NL Cy Young. Of course, he's going to have to battle with the guy on the left there with Scherzer. And then Wander Franco, we did give some love to him yesterday. We are on the over 1.5 total bases at plus money. We also talked about a Rosarena as well, who would have hit if you were in on him as well. Just kind of picked on Justin Steele a little bit. The first 2 starts were solid from him, but an 85% contact rate, and he got beat around yesterday by the Rays. But Franco is, man, he is off to a heck of a start. He was fantastic last year against lefties. He's somebody that you want to have on your checklist anytime a southpaw is on the hill facing him. His average is up to 400 here to start the campaign. 3-for-5, a home run, and 2 RBIs. There were a couple other big-time performances from a few players that I just wanted to give a little bit of love to as well. Some of these guys won't be able to help you out, but Schwarber had the home run, 3 RBIs. Salvador Perez had 2 homers yesterday in his game. CJ Krohn, believe it or not, is hanging around some waiver wires. The Rockies are off to a hot start, play half of their games at Coors. It's a great hitter park for him and some other guys in there, like Gerchik is kind of hanging around waiver wires as well. He had a home run, 4 RBIs, and a 3-run shot there late in the ball game. Eugenio Suarez, I'm not a big believer. He does have some pop, but he's going to kill your average. But if you're looking for some power, you're missing a little bit of power, he can help you out in certain spots. He had a home run and 3 RBIs yesterday, and Manny Machado had the home run. And then Joe Musgrove, just wanted to give him a little bit of love as well, because we had the over 6.5 strikeouts for Musgrove, and he cashed in. So the MLB props were pretty good yesterday. No real complaints. If you are looking for a couple guys to help you out on the waiver wire, there are a few that I have noticed from the catcher position. Sean Murphy is somebody we talked about on Monday with Jim Saunas. Got some pop in his bat. His ownership has jumped up to 60% now in Yahoo League. So if you missed out, there's another catcher that could help you out, and it's Austin Nola of the San Diego Padres. I've noticed in back-to-back games now he's led off. Of course, when Fernando Tatis Jr. is back in the lineup, he's going to be leading off for this team. Maybe he could move around, maybe in the 2-3. But I do believe he'll lead off. But Austin Nola has led off over the past couple of games. He's got 3 hits, 2 runs over the past couple. I don't think he's going to crush you in terms of average. He doesn't have a significant amount of power, but he could help you out there. This is a guy that I wish I got into him more on Monday, but his ownership in Yahoo is 36%. He has jumped up 31% over the last 24 hours. So you got to act quick. It's Thauro Estrada of the San Francisco Giants. Yesterday, the double hitter, right? So he had 8 plate appearances. He went 2 for 8. He had just the 1 run. But what I've noticed from him is his place in the order is not what I like, but I do like he does have some contact skills. He's got some sneaky pop, and I think he can come with some speed as well. Only hitting 244 right now, but he has scored runs in 6 of his last 8 games, and he does have 2 homers and 1 stolen base. What I do like the most is the triple eligibility over at Yahoo. Second, short, and outfield. I think that's significant. I could help you out. And then again, I think you're running out of time for Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena is somebody I've talked about since day one. A nice prospect for the Astros. Going to play every single day, basically. He's going to be a guy that is going to get well over 500 plate appearances. Only shortstop eligibility. But, you know, it's all about context, of course. If you're playing in a deeper league with middle infield, maybe he can certainly help you out there. You can find a way to get him in your everyday lineup. He went yard yesterday, 2 for 4. He led off, is what I thought he would do. Mentioned Altuve dealing with the hamstring injury. The lineup wasn't out yesterday, and I thought they would give him a chance to lead off, and they did. So Altuve's getting a little bit older. You know, last couple of years been dealing with a knee. If he misses some time here with the hammy, you know, Pena certainly 48%. His ownership has jumped up 7% over the last 24 hours. He's definitely a guy that can help you out. 2 homers so far to start the season, hitting 333. Good Astros lineup. Looks like he's not going to strike out a whole bunch there. He's got a couple 3-hit games already to start, and he does have some sneaky speed as well. I think, you know, this is a guy that could get double-digit home runs, double-digit stolen bases. Again, he's not going to lead off every day for the Astros. He's going to, if Altuve is healthy, he's going to fall back in the order, but my goodness, man, he looks like a heck of a ball player defensively as well. And the artist has like a 17-leg hit parlay here. It's going to be a lot to kind of wrap my head around. Not going to lie, dude. But you got some guys in there that I do like. Maybe we can get Frank's thoughts on that one as well. And DJ Betts is in the house. He says he has a free bet to use, so he wants to take a shot at a betting dog. Maybe we can help you out here in the next segment. Hey, maybe you want to take the Bulls? You want to take the Bulls over the Bucks? Kind of hung around. I don't think it's... I don't know what's going to happen for you there, DJ Betts, if you take Chicago. Frank is in here next. We're going to dive into the MLB slate. Get some picks and some props as well. Keep her locked. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Chris Meanies, we bring in Real Frank Brank on the Twitter machine. Off to a heck of a start in our MLB FTN bet tracker. Congratulations, sir. Welcome in. Thanks for taking the time. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I'll take your congratulations now, but I don't want to get it too far ahead of myself. This is a long grind MLB season, and you can lose it just as fast as you can win it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But again, hot start, right? You got to take it, right, as you can. And I've noticed you get in early and you really get ahead of the game with some of the value, which is really key. I think a lot of people like that, you know, night before bets or bright and early in the morning with the odds changing. So you've certainly been all over that. I do want to get your thoughts a little bit later on towards the end on NBA, but I want to just kind of keep this MLB. And I was plugging the betting package off the top of the show. And I mean, you have a lot of involvement with that as well, with some of the models and the tools. Do you want to just take a second to, you know, share with some of the people, you know, of course, with the betting package, you have the picks, but it's a whole lot more, Frank.
Yeah, you get the whole site. I mean, you get all of our experts, you know, whatever they specialize every single day. And on top of that, we have the MLB model posted every day, automated, so that when new lineups come in, the model runs and then uploads onto the site every 15 minutes. So, you know, you never really miss any action. You know, if you want to go in, say today there's a day game, the Pirates are playing the Brewers, you can go in and say, okay, I'm going to find a bet to play on this game. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that line of betting, but I know people are going to do it anyway, right? So if you're looking for a way to get down, you can kind of see the exact edge that I have in my model for each given game and decide what you want to bet on it. Even if you're going to a game or something, you want to see what to bet. It's, you know, it's right there. It's all interactive and you can pick up whatever you want to pick up.
I think a lot of people, especially when you go to a live game, right, they want to have a little bit of action. You know, I see it in every single sport Discord, whether it's NBA, NHL, MLB. Going to the game, do you have a prop? Do you have a pick? Do you have a total? Anything like that. So that's what's pretty cool. If nobody really has a bet from that game, like you said, you can go and check it out. It's right there for you. So let's get after today. There's a ton of action because I kind of want to focus on the evening games with this show airing at 2 Eastern and again at 5 Eastern. But it's Shohei Ohtani Day, and I've noticed that you've been really nailing the totals lately. And I've been right there with you in this series and the series that started between the Halos and the Angels, the first four games, and then these past couple here with the over. So Shohei Ohtani is on the bump for the Angels, and then Jake Odorizzi here for the Astros. You see the Astros as home dogs at +128.5 the total. Ohtani's the first start looked pretty good. It was against these Astros. He had a lot of strikeouts against a team that really doesn't strike out, and then he got roughed up a bit in his second start against Texas. You see the numbers there, 0-2, 7.56 ERA. The strikeout percentage is pretty elite there at 35%, and then Jake Odorizzi in there, who does have more swing and miss in his game. It's just a very small sample, so you see the small at 7K, or at 7 strikeout percentage as of right now. Do you have a lean on either side? Do you just want to go back to the well here and just hammer the over?
Yeah, that's what I did. That's what I did last night. The Angels offense proving to be quite good yet again. Last night, I think they scored 7 or 8 runs last night, and mm-hmm. the game ended up going over on a solo homer or something by the Astros in the 7th or 8th inning. But I'm with you there. I like the over again in this game. And I this pretty rarely happens in baseball, where we have like a matchup, right? Like, and I know in his first start, Ohtani was quite good against the Astros, and he had 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, maybe a little bit of adrenaline happening there, right? He got the pitch at home for that game. First game out of spring training, for a lot of guys is quite difficult for hitters. You know, there's a lot of travel going on there and whatever else. I don't think long-term that's going to happen to the Houston Astros. As an organization approach, they have made themselves sort of an inefficiency here, where they're getting high level production of hitters, but they're also countering that with just putting balls in play at a high rate. Typically, the guys that don't strike out very much aren't very good hitters, right? Because they're swinging poorly, they're putting weak balls in play nonstop, they're not hitting for power, right? Those things tend to be inverses of one another. Great home run hitters tend to strike out. That's just what you see. The Astros have found a good balance in that. You look at like the last 3 years, they're 4% better than the average team since 2019 in the strikeout rate. It's almost unheard of. The next best team is like 2.1% from them. And those teams down there that aren't striking out very much, teams like the Royals, don't produce much on offense, right? The Astros have been incredibly good. Now, I know they were cheating for some period of time there, but I would assume that has sort of ended at this point. They've definitely made an approach there. Ohtani, from a standpoint of, and why I think this is a good matchup in terms of like the best way to counter Ohtani, like he's still very good, right? His contact, quality of contact stuff, like his barrels, hard hit rate, pretty average, right? Like there's nothing crazy going on there. His walk rate can get quite high at times, but pretty average, you know, over the course of his career. So mm-hmm. if you can just, what makes him an elite pitcher, just the strikeouts, right? That splitter down in the zone, the fastball riding up on you towards triple digits. If the Astros can foul those pitches off like they tend to do and put balls in play, I think they can get to 3 or 4 runs against Ohtani and the Angels today. And of course, Odorizzi just isn't very good. You know, like there's been quite an overreaction, I think, in the market as well. We've seen totals were way too high to begin in the year. I think I played like 8 out of 9 totals were unders for me to start the year. And now they've been all overs for the most part, picking off certain games like this. So I do think there's a little bit of an overcorrection. This stadium is very short in the corners, right? Pop-ups can go out pretty easily here. And we kind of saw that last night.
Yeah, we did. I feel like I want to pick on Odorizzi a little bit. His strikeout prop is interesting, though, just with the Halos and so many strikeouts to start in their game. Yeah, you're dead on about the offense. I mean, the offense has been pretty good, right? They do have some power in that lineup, clearly. We'll see if Mike Trout can get back into the lineup. Ohtani's going to hit. Joe Adell's clearly got some power. Also, a lot of strikeouts in his game, too. They're striking out 26% of the time. Jake Odorizzi only has 3 strikeouts and 8 1/3. But his strikeout prop, I'm looking at it, man, +120 for 4.5. I think Would you get behind that? Or Ohtani's at 5.5. I think I know where you're going, and I do lean with you there. The Astros, they just make so much contact. I think it's 3 straight years in a row they've had the lowest strikeout rate in all of baseball, and it's not even close, right? It's been phenomenal. But what about Odorizzi? There's a couple things. Like, I'm interested maybe in his strikeout prop, but I also feel like he may give up a bomb, Frank. You talked about how he's not that great. Last year, he gave up 16 bombs in 104. He's had multiple 20-plus home runs, 29 in 2016, 30 in 2017. His fly ball rates are extremely high for his career. Every single year you go through it, I mean, it's high 40s. This is a guy that I think could get a few strikeouts, Frank, but also we could maybe get a couple home runs on the other side. Maybe it's an Adele, maybe it's an Ohtani, maybe Trout returns. I think it's I'm pretty intrigued on that side. But what do you think about the Odorizzi strikeout prop?
Yeah, I mean, this is tough, right? Because I don't think it would have surprised either of us, Chris, if Odorizzi didn't make it through the second inning, right? Like, yeah, but he could also rack up like 4 strikeouts in 2 innings. We see that happen all the time. Like, the only way some of these guys get out sometimes is strikeouts. And Odorizzi, like you said, I think he has 4 strikeouts in his first 8 innings. I'm not that worried about it. He's about an average strikeout pitcher over the course of his career, including last few years. I give him somewhere around like a 20, 21, 22% strikeout rate in my model. I think that's plenty enough for the Halos, right? They're the 4th highest strikeout team in terms of strikeout percentage in the major leagues so far this season. And it's not necessarily where we're sort of cherry picking. That metric's pretty stable at this point, realistically. I think that's about what you're going to get. But even if you say, oh, well, it's a pretty small sample, they have a lot of hitters that strike out a lot and kind of swing for the fences, right? With the exception of like Mike Trout. They have a lot of sellout sort of hitters, which if Odorizzi just hangs in there, you know, if he can go 5 innings, I think that this is a good number to pick on. 4.5 at +120 with how much the Angels strike out. I think we're getting a pretty reduced number because Odorizzi has struggled so bad. I don't think he's going to pitch to a 7 ERA for the rest of the season or whatever it is at this point, right? So he's going to be a fairly average to below average starter, I would say, which these guys still get strikeouts. So if he can just last in this game and hang in there, we kind of saw this with the Reds pitcher last night. He was getting lit up and just striking. The only out he was getting strikeouts, right?
So, I saw that,
I was actually on his under. I'm like, pull him. And then they just left him out there to die because it didn't matter at that point. He was racking up some strikeouts. So I do like Odorizzi here in this spot, but it's mostly just because the Angels lineup is pretty susceptible.
For sure. And if there is no Trout, right, you got Adele in there who's been striking out quite a bit. Maybe Marsh got a couple strikeouts in his bat too. But Jake Odorizzi with the 45% fly ball rate for his career, which is pretty alarming. You know, you mentioned the Reds. I just wanted to bring him up on the spot. And is Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore, pretty strong in his first outing, clearly has some swing and miss to his repertoire as well, going up against the Reds, who also strike out a lot. But man, it's hard for me to get behind this number. I just searched in our prop shop and I'm not really seeing it. I may have to surf around a little bit. 4.5 strikeouts at -155 is really, really tough to bet as a single. But maybe if you would put that into a parlay with a couple others, could you get behind that number? Or if it moved to 5.5 plus money, could you get behind that? Is that a stay away? Because this Reds team, I think, Frank, we're going to pick on them all year when it comes to some pitchers against them. I mean, right now, we talk about the Angels striking out a lot. The Reds, 27%. Number 3 in baseball.
Yeah, and again, it's a team that you would expect to strike out a lot, right? So it makes a lot of sense. I have Gore, who, you know, projections typically are a little bit harsh on prospects, even good ones, you know, because most prospects don't really come up succeed. Even, you know, look at Vladdy, right? Like we see plenty of really, really good hitters be marginal for a couple of years and then they figure it out. But even at that, Mackenzie Gore, I have him at 5.3 strikeouts. And the other part of that too is a lot of the Reds' best hitters are left-handed, and he can sort of counter them quite well, with his arm slot and kind of funky windup to go along with that. So, but 4.5 at -155, I don't think Gore's going to, that's about the number that I have there at 5.3 strikeouts on average. So I don't think that there's a lot of value there in betting that. The other thing to be careful with that too, with laying such heavy juice on these props, is we're not entirely sure what his workload's going to look like, right? Yeah, like if they get a big lead, do they pull them? If he gives up 3 runs in 2 innings, they might just pull them. And then you end up in a situation where, you know, you're not getting a situation like Musgrove last night where like he's probably going to go 6 or 7 innings, right? Like most of the time the DH is in there now. That makes it a little easier to leave your starters out there. So I do think that you just have to be careful sometimes with some of these early guys.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, right? With some of these younger pitchers, the leash is probably not as long. Heck, the leash isn't long for a lot of guys these days, dude, some of these strikeout props. So what else is on your card here today? What other games are you looking at? There you go. DJ Betts, which dogs do you like in MLB?
Yeah, I saw the talking about a free, but in all honesty, if you're looking for something, the Pirates play in about an hour. I do have a tiny bit of value on the Pirates. It's sitting around like 190, 195. You probably find like 200s out there in some spots. I don't particularly like, if anyone has followed me for any amount of time, they know how much I pick on Mitch Keller. But if you're looking for like a big free bet, a 2-1 dog, Woodruff hasn't been particularly good this year, and wasn't good to close out. He was, and it's not even sample size, he was not good to close out the season last year. He was really struggling, and I don't quite remember. I think he had some sort of injury problem to set him back, and he hasn't been good. We saw the Pirates even put some good swings on the ball against Corbin Burns. If the ball wasn't so dead, they could have easily hit three home runs off of him, which would have, tightened that game up a little bit. Now, he did strike a ton of guys out, and I would expect Woodruff to do the same. But the middle of this Pirates lineup really not that terrible with guys like Tsutsugo, Reynolds, Hayes. They can score some runs in this little park. And if Mitch Keller somehow figures it out, throwing 100 miles per hour, and, the Brewers lineup I don't think is that good. We saw Williams and Hader last night. Maybe one of them I think Williams pitched back-to-back days, so I'm sure he'll be off today. I think there might be a tiny bit of value on the Pirates if you're looking for sort of a big dog free bet spot to play at 2-1 odds.
Since you follow the Pirates so closely, I might as well just get a couple questions. Reynolds is awesome. I think that guy is an absolute stud. Really, really underrated. And you're spot on about Woodruff. I believe it was a back. I feel like it was a back, but there was something going on. But definitely September, October was his worst month. 4.09 ERA and opponents just, hit 262 average. Not crazy. But when you're looking at the first 3 months of the season, opponents hit 134, 141, 195. So he did get roughed up a little bit with the WOBA just over 300. So you're spot on there. Plus this Milwaukee team, I mean, I like them because I like their pitching, but they don't have a scary offense, dude. When Yelich is not going, like, they just don't really have a ton of offense there. Mitch Keller, got him in a dynasty league. Do I just hold on? It's like, it's a deep league. I'm not starting him. He's just on my roster, but you feel like he's a guy that can turn it around? You're kind of on the fence there.
I've had this talk with Austin Mock. He's also from the Pittsburgh area and is a Pirates fan. I've talked with him about Mitch Keller quite a bit. Hold on to him, sure, because I mean, in the off chance that he figures it out, he's throwing 100 miles per hour now, whatever. Mm-hmm. I just look in his eyes when he's pitching, man, and like, it's hollow. And I kind of noticed the same thing in Cole yesterday watching that game. It's just like the competitiveness doesn't, and I hate to make that judgment as a numbers guy, as a model, sure. Some guys, you just look at them and he looks scared. He's looked like that since his first start of his career. It just doesn't look like there's a lot going on there, and the competitiveness isn't there. The tenacity, the like attack the zone, you throw 100 miles an hour, man. Like, it's not overly difficult for you to get out if you just get into the zone, but he keeps finding himself in 2-1 and 3-1 counts. And then a straight 100 mile an hour fastball, sadly, isn't what it used to be, and these guys can hit that now, and then you put yourself in a situation where you're throwing 100 at the chest and the ball travels out a lot further at that velocity as well with very little movement. So it would take a bit for me, but like, he obviously has the stuff in terms of the spin rates and the velocity and all of that stuff. He just needs to actually trust his abilities and I don't want to say pitch to contact, but like attack the zone to get out, because if you pitch 2-1, 3-1 all the time, their major league hitters are going to destroy you.
Yeah, man, you're right about the start that he had. Like, in his when he first got onto the bigs, dude couldn't even get out of the first inning. He was just roughed up so much. And it can mess with your psyche too, like a confidence factor. Might see that as well. We'll get you out of here on this because those that are watching the Game Plus Network, potentially north of the border, Anthem Sports and Entertainment in the Toronto area with the Blue Jays and the Red Sox battling today. Yesterday was a tight game. I was on the Red Sox. Got lucky there, I do believe. They kind of squeaked it out. I was expecting Xander to have a day. Yusei Kikuchi was a little bit better than I thought. I've been picking on him, Frank. I don't know. I'm not a huge believer, but he had it working for him yesterday. So for today, it's Jose Barrios up against Nick Pivetta. The Sox are slight home dogs here against the Blue Jays. Barrios did not have a good first start at home. I don't even think he recorded it out, and he didn't even get out of that first inning. Clearly, he got roughed up against Texas. Do you see maybe some runs in this game? Do you like the Red Sox potentially at home? I kind of have a lean to the Red Sox.
Yeah, I took the Red Sox at, I think it was plus 118 this morning. That number's come down quite a bit. I'm seeing like 102s out there. This is, you talked about it at the beginning of the show. This is why we bet a little early, you know, get a little bit ahead of this sort of movement. Both these pitchers have not been good. You know, I think they are going to improve, but Berrios is very scary for me. He had a horrible spring and I was like, so it's just the spring, you know, and I didn't think much about it, which is the approach you should have, right? And then one out in the first start, and even in the last start, he threw 24 hitters, 6 hits, 2 homers, 3 walks in that game. It just doesn't look right for whatever reason, and he just signed a $130 million deal with the Blue Jays. So I don't want to sound the alarm too much because, you know, I watched a little bit of his last start because I was wanting to see something. These things can just sort of happen from time to time. If he had a 3.20 ERA and this happened back-to-back starts in July, would we care? Probably not, right? So, like, these sort of things can happen. But when I saw his spring numbers and then I saw the first start, I was like, this starts starting to look like a little bit of a pattern. But the good news is with the amount of movement and the amount of, you know, spin rate and velocity and stuff that he can produce, I don't think that there's a huge issue for concern. He's probably just leaving too many pitches out over the plate. And when anytime you see like, oh, he faced 7 hitters and 3 of them reached, and, you know, and like when he got bounced in the first inning there, it's some of that is just bad luck, right? Like a lot of singles getting through or something like that. So I'm more concerned about the 3 home runs and the 5 innings that he's pitched, but I would imagine he'll get that sorted out.
Yeah, it's no disrespect to him or Kevin Gausman. I think Alek Manoah is the best upside arm that they have in that rotation, man. Like from a strikeout upside prop. I know Gausman's he's a stud. He's awesome. He's probably realistically their best arm, but I really do have this soft spot for Alek Manoah. All right, dude, appreciate you. We'll get you out of here. Just one. I know you do NBA stuff too. Nets. Yeah. Or Celtics tonight? Who? It's such a tough game to call, man. I don't know. Help me out here. Who wins this game?
I'm gonna make the Celtics the favorite here. I know Durant struggled. Everyone's like, well, what if Durant plays? I was like, well, Kyrie was like 21 for 34.
He was awesome.
Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, he's not gonna play like that. The whole year. And Durant going, I think he was 9 for 24 or something in the first game. That's what the Celtics do. This is why this team is so good. They're efficient. Yeah. On offense, but they absolutely shut you down. And losing Robert Williams is a hurt to that defense for sure. But they still have 4 guys that can guard anybody, right? Like they really can. They can switch and guard on anybody, which is the main key in the NBA because the offenses are just so good at creating mismatches and creating isolation and those sorts of things. Kyrie got what he could, right? Like, so Kyrie's probably not going to play that well. Durant's probably going to play better. I don't know, man. Like, this is in the Celtics' hand, in my opinion. They're -3 right now. I do have a tiny edge if you want to play the 3. I think you can. I mean, this game, like, 4. But this is, like, one of those things in the NBA where a good team loses and they're, like, it's, like, the can't lose fallacy, right? Like, the numbers will, if the Nets lose again, they'll, like, the shade the number. They'll be, like, -5 at home the next game. And it's, like, it just doesn't exist, right? The best teams or the better teams tend to win. This number will almost certainly flip across the 0 when they go to Brooklyn. But I do like the Celtics. I've talked about it all year. Hopefully, if they get through this series, this is maybe one of the hardest series they're going to get because
I know
you have to, without Robert Williams especially, you have to exploit them in the post or you have to shoot extremely well. And the Nets really aren't going to exploit anybody in the post because KD and Kyrie are going to have the ball on the perimeter the whole time. They're going to have to both shoot the lights out to win the series. And it could happen. They're a good matchup because they're the one team, I think, in the East that can shoot well enough to beat the Celtics.
Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. Going to turn our attention over to the NHL. Going to have a couple of NBA props, my thoughts towards the end. I do see a bit of a back and forth there between Am the Artist and DJ Betts. Am the Artist is on the Nets. I could see certainly a bounce back from KD. I mean, his point props at 29.5. I think he probably has a 30-point night. But to Frank's point, like Kyrie maybe is not as efficient. You know, there is something to be said about the, you know, that bounce back game after game one. But I don't know. We'll get into it in a little bit, guys. But it is really tough I mean, game to call, series to call, right? It's a fantastic matchup. I think it's going to be the best opening round in the playoffs. Okay, so NHL. I want to get after the three stars from last night. Yesterday, I talked a lot about Johnny Hockey and how he should be in consideration for the Hart. And then I gave my true Hart play, which was Igor Shesterkin. Is a dude even going to be nominated for the Hart with Matthews at 58 goals and 100-plus points? McDavid leading the NHL in points. I think Huberto passed him last night with a three-point performance. And then, you know, got Johnny Hockey there as well. I mean, my goodness, I can't remember a race like this for the Hart. I can't even tell you with confidence who I think the three finalists are going to be. Shesterkin's going to rack up some hardware. There's no question. He's going to win the Vezina here. Back-to-back shutouts for him. His sixth shutout on the season. He's been so good. He's, in my opinion, the MVP should be the most valuable player to your team. If you take, I said this again yesterday. I don't want to get too deep into it, but you know, if you take away Huberto, you got Barkov, who I think is the best Panther. They're lighting it up offensively. Everybody's having career seasons. You got Mitch Marner, Tavares, William Nylander with the Leafs. If you take away Matthews, you take away Johnny Hockey, you got Lindholm and Tkachuk having great seasons. But I do believe, you know, Lindholm is flirting with 40 goals and Tkachuk flirting with 100 points because of how great Johnny Hockey has been. I mean, the even strength points, the plus minus between that trio is well over 150. It's just been a heck of a run. But you take away Shesterkin away from this Rangers team, I don't know. I don't know if they're a playoff team. I can tell you they're definitely not battling atop the Metro with Carolina for the most points. But Shesterkin, a .936 save percentage, a 2.01 goals against average. That is absolutely fantastic considering the scoring across the league, a lot of overs this season, a lot of 100-point showings from certain players. Shesterkin has been, I mean, there was a bit of a hiccup last month, two or three game stretch. But other than that, this guy's been, he's just been lights out. Back-to-back shutouts, like I said, he's got three shutouts over his last five appearances. So Igor Shesterkin is the first star last night, shutout the Jets. 31 saves. Alexander Barkov had all three goals, including the overtime winner for the Florida Panthers yesterday against the New York Islanders. I mentioned Huberto was in on all three goals as well. Huberto, just a fantastic season. I could have easily put him on the board, but of course, we got to go with the hat trick there. But Huberto is up to 81 assists, the most assists ever from a left winger past Joey Juno a couple of weeks ago, and he's at 111 points. And then the third star there, I was like, thanks, George, for bringing it up, because I don't even remember. Alex Formanson, two goals, seven shots, three hits, playing on the second line there with Tim Stützle and Drake Batherson. The Senators have a favorable schedule here down the stretch, so if you're in a deeper league, you know, fantasy hockey playoffs in your finals, I think he could potentially help you out. As you see, he had the three hits. He can throw his body around. He's clearly not going to have seven shots, you know, he's not even probably going to average three or four the rest of the way, but some upside clearly playing with those guys. Let's get into the shot props for tonight. I got four here for you. Hopefully we can nail some of these. Tyler Seguin has kind of turned the clock back a little bit. Seguin is absolutely feeling it as of late. He's looking like the Seguin of a couple years ago when Dallas made their run. He has had at least three shots in five straight games. He's done it pretty easily too. His last couple, 5-3, 9-4, and then three before that. He does have two goals over that span as well. Quietly up to 46 points. It's not a great season for him. He's minus 19, but he's been a lot better lately. You know, a decent spot there against the Oilers, and got Connor McDavid there on the other side. Drysdale's plus money. I lean with McDavid because he's had at least four shots in nine of his last 11 in the two games that he didn't clear. Actually, his last two both stuck on three. Valeri Nichushkin, a matchup against the Kraken, and for Nichushkin, he is cleared in seven of his past nine games. A lot of those games he's had four shots, so I am going with Valeri Nichushkin. And Max Pacioretty is plus 130 here tonight. His first three games, two shots, 3-4, coming back from an injury, didn't do a whole lot, but his last two games, six shots and eight shots. We know Pacioretty is a volume shooter. This guy loves to shoot the puck. Maybe a little bit healthier, a must-win situation for Vegas tonight. I think he's going to do whatever he can to score some goals. Plus, he's a bit of a puck hog. That's what I like about these shot prop guys. McDavid is not a puck hog. Seguin is a bit of one. He loves to shoot the puck. But Pacioretty is. He's a shoot-first guy. He's not afraid to take a shot towards the net. So I like him. Also, one more. Shea Theodore is plus money as well, and he's been shooting the puck a little bit more. I think we're going to see some urgency from Vegas. You know what? I was going to give Patrick Kane 3.5. He played Arizona 2 weeks ago, and he had seven shots on net, and he had a goal. It's just it. That's I don't want to put my money on any Arizona Coyotes. Kane is like minus 150 for 3.5 shots, so it's a bit steep. But I know that you're a big parlay guy, Am the Artist, so maybe you can put him into a parlay. And there you go. Dubois stayed at 2 because George was hating on him. That's right. George may have sprinkled on him. Who knows? It's very likely he sprinkled on Pierre-Luc Dubois. I would go with Kane, shot prop. And I think you nailed it with the Brincat assist prop against Arizona. Both of those guys are going to hit the score sheet against the Coyotes. We do have some more NHL picks in the next block, so stay tuned. All right, so 4 games on the ice. Give some props. Here's a couple of picks I'm feeling here tonight. I got to back the Vegas Golden Knights, guys. Maybe I'm a sucker here, but just some desperation in their game. You know, they just lost on home ice in New Jersey, and then Washington just beat Colorado in Colorado. So everything would tell you that there's no chance here, right? Vegas loses this game at home against Washington. But just with the push, I got to feel like there's some urgency in their game. Don't you guys think there has to be? This is a must-win situation. 4 back of Dallas with 5 to play, 5 back of the Kings. This is it, man. They got to win this game tonight. I'm going to lean with them at home against the Capitals. I do think we'll see some offense. My biggest issue, honestly, with the Golden Knights is Robin Lehner. I don't even know if he deserves to start. Actually, I can say with confidence, I don't think he deserves to start. I don't know if they're going to go with Logan Thomas. Like, just ride Logan Thomas. He's been better. I don't know what the obsession is with Robin Lehner. I really don't. He's battled through some injuries. I just don't feel like he's, oh man, I hate to be hard on athletes because here I am sitting in the basement of my show talking about Robin Lehner not being great. Obviously, he's great. He's an NHL goalie, but he has not been good this year. So that's why I feel like we'll see some offense. Ilya Samsonov's had a bit of a rough year. He's kind of turned the corner a little bit, but he's had been pretty shaky. Like, he hasn't been consistent. His game it's been much better lately, but even got shelled the other night against the Leafs. The Leafs are playing really good hockey. Not in action tonight, but another W last night without Matthews. I like the Golden Knights at home. I think we'll see some offense. I like Colorado on the puck line. It's a bit of a chalky play, but minus 125 is not bad for an Avs team having to face the Seattle Kraken. The Avs are still pushing. They're still, they're just so darn strong. So I am going to have a little bit of a chalky play there with Colorado. You know, DJ Betts, I see you in the chat. You're looking for some, you know, some dogs here tonight. I think if you want one, Dallas. I think Dallas Stars at plus 145. I know the Oilers have won 9 of their last 11, 5 of their last 6 at home. Mike Smith has got shutouts some back-to-back games, so everything is also pointing to an Edmonton victory here. But Dallas has beat Edmonton in both matchups this season, and one of them came in Edmonton. So I like this Stars team tonight. Again, another team that could be a little bit more urgency, have not clinched a playoff spot, feeling teams behind them like Vancouver or Vegas potentially. I like the Stars here. I think they can go toe-to-toe with Edmonton, and I think we'll see some offense at 6.5. The Oilers have played to the under lately just because of how good Mike Smith has been, but I do believe they're good for 3 goals, and I think, you know, just the way that Edmonton plays, especially at home with the back and forth, I think we'll see some offense there. So I'll take the over 6.5. George, you take the over 4 on both of those games and be well on your way, sir. All right, NBA to wrap up Mean Streets. Keep her along. 3 games on the hard court, the Toronto Raptors and Philadelphia 76ers. We've got the Bulls and the Bucks and the Nets and the Celtics. Let's start, George, in Philadelphia. I got a prop for every single game here. Yesterday was 3 for 3, so proceed with caution. You know how that usually works, but it's tough really to feel great about this Raptors team at the moment, but I will back them on home court here as another just must-win situation. This is it for them. They lose tonight. There's no chance, but my favorite play in this game is Tyrese Maxey over 2.5 threes. You can get that at plus 130. I'm surprised we can get that at plus 130. You can get that all across the board. Caesars, DraftKings, BetMGM, all at plus 130. FanDuel's at plus 118. Those north of the border right in Bet365, also plus 130. 8 for 14 from beyond the arc in the 2 games. 3 for 6 in game 2. 5 for 8 in game 1. He has cleared this number in 5 of his past 8 games. I do think he'll get 3 trays. Over to the Brooklyn and the Boston game. It's such a tough game to call here. You know, you're looking for a dog. You like the Brooklyn Nets there at plus money. I am going to lean here with the Celtics at home, but Kyrie's the guy for me. Over 3.5 threes at plus 115. He was 6 for 10 from beyond the arc. I get he may not be as efficient shooting the basketball, but he's going to jack up a lot of threes, and I just like him as a shooter. I also like the 5.5 assists for Kyrie at minus 128. He did have 6 assists in that first game in game 1, and I'm sure Kevin Durant's going to have a much better game. I was going to give you guys 30 points. 30 points is a lot to ask. I'm sure he does hit that number. I would lean with the over when it came when it comes to KD's points. And then the final game here, Chicago and Milwaukee. I mean, you could go Giannis. I mean, Giannis is, I don't know, he's clearly going to get a double-double here, I do believe. But my favorite play is on the Chicago side of things. I do think that the Bucks win this game. The Bulls hung around, and they went cold near the end of the game. Nobody can hit a shot. But I like Vucevic here. 18.5 points is plus money. 24 points, 9 for 27 shooting. He didn't really shoot the ball all that well. 9 for 27 is not spectacular. 27 shots is a lot of shots. I think between him and DeRozan, you know, LaVine, those are the shooters for the Bulls. But, you know, 9 for 27. And to clear that point prop at 24. So if he's a little bit more efficient shooting the rock, can get to the line, couple trays from beyond the arc, you can hit those as well. I think we can get that number. Guys, thanks for taking the time to hang out. Good luck with all the picks. Enjoy the sports, and we'll be back on Thursday. Have a good one.